Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Whatever your profession, to achieve in any field of life, we all need to learn to master our self-talk. We often talk with our human condition guru, Lynn Worsley, about this. How do you beat that negative voice, the one that tells you you're not good enough, you're going to fail, there's no point in trying? Elite athletes learn tools and techniques to overcome those negative thoughts and replace them with positive stuff. And that's just one of the issues we're discussing tonight with Jeremy Ralston, our sports guru. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Lee. How are you?
Thanks for coming in. Fine, thanks. Let's first of all, though, talk tech. We're seeing more and more of a role for technology in sport. This is an interesting issue. In swimming, we've got pool sensors, cricket, hotspots, snickometers. Athletes have photo finishes. This week, we've seen that rugby league could soon be utilising GPS technology to determine whether a ball has been passed forward or not.
It's an interesting proposal that will be put to the NRL over the off-season. And so basically, the proposal is that there'll be a small microchip and battery the size of the fingernail on your little finger put into the layering of the ball, and a signal will go out from that up to a satellite, back to a computer and to the video referee. And it will actually tell the video referee with an alarm if the ball has been passed forward, and then he'll let the on-field referee know.
Wow. Do you think that's a good move? Now, I suppose it'll make sport fairer, or is it becoming like slightly ridiculous, or so serious at least, that there'll be no tolerance for human error?
Yeah, that
just banish the humans.
Yeah, it's a great question and an interesting topic.
That's why I asked it.
On one hand, I mean, it is the era of professional sport, and it does reduce errors and it does increase fairness. And it's been good for swimming with, you know, electronic pressure pad systems. It's been good for cricket with the hotspot and the snickometer, and tennis with the Hawkeye. So it has been good. And I guess last week we had an example of that whereby Manly lost a game with a forward pass, and that could influence whether they win the minor premiership, and there's, you know, $100,000 at risk. So on one hand, it is very good. I guess my personal opinion is that it's more about that it shouldn't replace or diminish the role of the referee. It should just aid them. We don't want a computer ruling our sport. I think, for me, that's one point. I think the other point is there should be some reasonable tolerance for human error in the process of refereeing or umpiring, because it's the fabric of sport. And let's be honest, if you didn't have that, there'd be a lot of spectators, which they wouldn't have a lot of material to be yelling from the sidelines, would they?
Nor the media.
nor the media.
Yeah, to yak on about endlessly. Okay, so let's talk about what I told our listeners at the top, beating that negative voice, dealing with self-doubt. So it's something I'm sure that all sports people have to deal with at some stage, but it still probably does plague those elite sports people the more and more they go up the food chain.
Yeah, I think this will dovetail into what Lynn has said in the past very well. It certainly affects everybody. It's just that elite athletes, we're at that acute stage, so we really need to know how to deal with it. And we do learn techniques over time and with sports psychologists and people like that we work with. And, you know, that little voice in your head, that little negative voice, it comes in many, many different forms. I mean, for me, I've heard it in the form of doubt. You hear it in the form of excuses. You hear it in the form of pressure, that whole just stop now and the pain will go away, you know, or the pressure of a life situation. Just give up. Yeah. And you hear it in the voice of fears and all of those things. And I guess the important thing in that is it doesn't matter what form it comes in, it holds you back from anything that you want to do. And that's the key, whether it's as an elite athlete or whether it's just in your everyday life.
Okay, as an elite athlete then, because I think that this, as you say with Lynn, it does cross over to all of us. How do you learn to take control of that negative voice? Some of the circuit-breaking techniques you can learn to replace negative stuff in your head.
Well, I think one thing that I think is really useful for people to understand is that everybody faces it equally and it never goes away. And the reason I say that is I remember reading the story of Herb Elliott winning the 1500-metre final in Rome in 1960, and he talks about hearing that little voice in his head, and he was so surprised that he would have thought that the Olympic final, you'd get all these positive messages, not this little negative voice still.
Yeah.
And I remember interviewing Louise Savage, and she talked about being very negative on the start line. So for us, we learn this technique called circuit breakers, and the aim of circuit breakers is to stop the negative thought so that it doesn't run the pattern from there. Because I think what people, the second point, a lot of people fail to realize how powerful your language is, and they maybe denigrate it to just positive thinking and positive language. But for athletes particularly, we really know that it's far more than that. And so we go about trying to harness it. So an example of that might be, I'll give you an example from Lydia Lassila, who won the gold medal in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Whenever she was feeling nervous about, as she was about to go from potentially crashing with what they do in the aerials, she would actually physically yell out, "Stop!" Now, she would yell it out. You could just yell it in your head.
Like talking to the voice.
Yeah, like talking to the voice. Yeah. And the effect of that is your brain sort of shudders and sort of like, what? What just went on? And then you replace it with a positive thought. A lot of people have used this technique traditionally with rubber bands around their wrists or pinching themselves. And it's something that just stops that negative thought. And then you then go and harness a more positive thought into that, because I guess your thoughts affect your emotions, which affect your actions. And that's the trial you're trying. Yeah.
So have you, I'm sure you have had it work out in your sporting career, a time when you've had to overcome this kind of stuff?
Yeah, look, most definitely. One example that comes to mind is being at the top of a track in Germany, and there'd been a guy who just got seriously injured just before we went, and it was a very, very dangerous and fast track. So being able to sort of harness your thoughts to speak positively, to remove any of the negative thoughts about crashing and injuring yourself, was really, really important. And that was just a training run, but it could equally as been at the Olympics. You have those thoughts.
Yeah. Jeremy Rolston, always great to talk. Thanks so much for coming in.
You're very welcome.
Good on you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.